For a few minutes this evening, I should like to speak to you about the serious situation that has arisen in Little Rock. To make this talk, I have come to the President's office in the White House. I could have spoken from Rhode Island, or where I have been staying recently, but I felt that, in speaking from the House of Lincoln, of Jackson, and of Wilson, my words would better convey both the sadness I feel in the action I was compelled today to make, and the firmness with which I intend to pursue this course until the orders of the federal court at Little Rock can be executed without unlawful interference.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and this is our day in history, this September the 24th. And that was the voice in 1957 of the then President of the United States of America, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who had ordered, federalized the National Guard in Little Rock, Arkansas, days before, to ensure the safety of 9 African-American students who were there to integrate Central High School. And then what happened after he did that, the governor then of Arkansas, Orville Faubus, in an act of absolute brazen defiance of the United States government, disbanded his state National Guard that were there to defend the 9 black students. So that Eisenhower came back from his vacation in Newport, Rhode Island, and addressed the nation the evening of the 24th of September, this evening, today. And he made this speech and then sent the airborne troops, 101st Airborne, into Little Rock to defend the 9 students and the African-American community. That happened on this day in 1957. He went on to conclude his speech by saying, "The very basis of our individual rights and freedoms is the certainty that the president and the executive branch of government will support and ensure the carrying out of the decisions of the federal courts, even when necessary, with all the means at the president's command." That happened on this day in 1957 when he made that speech to enforce the integration of Little Rock and protect those 9 students. It was on this day in 1906, before that, that President Theodore Roosevelt proclaimed Devil's Tower in Wyoming the nation's first national monument, as some what he called a very spiritual place. But the native people in America, the Lakota and other people in America, the Cheyenne, the Kiowa, the Crow, the Apache, already knew this monument as a holy place for hundreds of years before any Europeans ever laid eyes on it. And the story was these 3 young girls, these 7 young girls, ran from a grizzly bear who was coming to get them, and they realized they would never be able to outrun this great beast. The bears took refuge in a rock and prayed to the Great Spirit for protection. And their prayers were answered as the rock began to grow around them, higher and higher until the rock grew, reaching the sky, as their story says. And then the serrations on the side of the rock were said to have been done by this grizzly bear trying to get to these 3 young girls. So the native people named this place that Roosevelt called the Devil Tower, was known as Mateo Tipi, or the Grizzly Bear Lodge. Going back to the United States here again with the story that we just told with President Eisenhower, 5 years after that, on the very same day, Mississippi Governor Ross Barnett issued a proclamation for all state officials to prevent and obstruct with any means necessary the admission of James Meredith to the University of Mississippi on this day in 1962. This was a day in 1965 that Lyndon Baines Johnson put out an executive order to uphold the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And this was a day, now many of you may watch CBS and watch 60 Minutes, that is a show that's a mere shadow of its former self, more entertainment TV today. But it began on this day in 1968 as one of the most provocative news shows ever to be produced, doing serious investigative reporting. Happened on this day in 1968. And let's celebrate several births here, and then we'll move on to our conversation, which I'm looking forward to. This is the day in 1835. It was born a woman named Ellen Watkins Harper. She was born here in Baltimore as a slave and became a free woman. And she became one of the most ardent supporters of women's suffrage and abolitionist, and moved ahead and created the National Association of Colored Women in this country. But before she did that, she became a journalist and is known as the mother of African-American journalism. I would consider her one of the mothers of American journalism. Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, born on this day in 1835 in Baltimore, Maryland, as was in 1894 in Baltimore, Maryland, E. Franklin Frazier, born on this day, the man who wrote The Black Bourgeoisie. And is one of the great thinkers in American history, born on this day in Baltimore in 1894. And now we leave you with this little clip, because also another man who was raised in Maryland, though born in Mississippi, gave us Sesame Street and founded Jim Henson Company. Jim Henson was born on this day in 1936 and left us much too early. So we leave you as we go to our break to come back to our guests with this little sound and clip from Sesame Street.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful.